Now, at this point, we want to cross live to our US correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, I believe, is standing by very near Nassim. That's not too far, Simon, from St. Regis, where the motorcade has just moved on from. Now, I want to just ask the question that many people observing US President Donald Trump have been asking. How prepared is he for the summit?
Well, he says, Jill, that he's been preparing for this meeting all his life. But he said that after just a couple of days earlier, having indicated that he felt that this was going to be a question of walking into the room and establishing a sense of attitude with Kim Jong-un. He suggested that he hadn't been doing that much advanced preparation, certainly on the details of things like denuclearization, because for this American president, relationships with foreign heads of state tend to be very transactional, and they also tend to be done very much on look and feel. He is not a man who macerates in policy documents or surrounds himself with policy advisors and learns all the nuance of bilateral policy between, for example, the United States and North Korea. So, speaking to reporters at the G7 summit in Canada that wrapped up a few hours ago before he boarded Air Force One to head here for Singapore, he suggested that he would know within the first minute of meeting Kim Jong-un whether he considered Kim Jong-un to be serious about trying to secure peace in the Korean Peninsula. Now, all of these developments regarding this summit have moved at such an unprecedented pace over the last 5 weeks. It was only right at the beginning of May that we first learnt this summit was even mooted to take place here in Singapore. Then, of course, it was on again, off again, on again. And now we've just seen at our live position here at Tanglin and Nassim Road, that limousine carrying Kim Jong-un driving right past us. A scene that
And Simon, I'm going to interrupt you just now. Please pardon me for that, because we want to cross live to the Istana at this moment. You're watching live pictures of that impending meeting between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and the Singapore Prime Minister. Of course, we'll bring those pictures back up for you as soon as we get them. But as you can see there, a lot of activity surrounding that impending meeting. And of course, all eyes are curious to know exactly how, what the messages are, the exchanges, the cordial exchanges between these two leaders. Now, perhaps we can go back to Simon Marks. I'm not sure if Simon is still on the line with us until we get either. Simon, if you can hear me, I was wondering whether you could continue with that answer that you were giving about just how...
I can, Jill.
Go on.
Absolutely. I mean, the point that I was making is having watched that limousine pass right by us here and now seeing some of those live pictures coming from the Astana, I mean, there's this sense in which scenes that just a few weeks ago, and there you can see the Prime Minister now
meeting. All right, Simon, I hate to do this to you for a second time, but we are seeing that official handshake between the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong as they enter to begin their bilateral talks. And, of course, the media are not allowed to follow them past the doors, but there, that very crucial picture, that historic photo opportunity of the two leaders meeting ahead of that June 12th summit. You are watching live pictures of inside the Istana as we have just seen the two leaders with that welcome handshake before they proceed to their bilateral talks. And we're just going to, for a third time, try to reconnect with Simon Marks. Simon.
Absolutely, Jill. The point I was making is that those pictures of the limo driving past here, the handshake there at the Astana, considered absolutely unthinkable just a short time ago. Just a few months ago, President Donald Trump was talking in terms of Kim Jong-un as being little rocket man, threatening to rain fire and fury down on the Korean Peninsula. The summit was on, then the summit was off, now it's back on again. You look at pictures of heads of state travelling through capital cities and you think that they're relatively mundane because you see motorcades if you live in capital cities around the world on a continuing basis. But I think it's very important to underscore there is nothing mundane at all about what we're witnessing here with Kim Jong-un now the first to shake hands with Singapore's Prime Minister and Donald Trump not far behind on Air Force One preparing preparing for his meeting with Kim Jong-un on Tuesday morning.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump for a second. And I asked this question of Yeon Suk, where Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong talked about a new trajectory in relations on the Korean Peninsula. And Vivian Balakrishnan, the Foreign Affairs Minister, talked about a sincerity among these men to come up with some sort of deal. Do you think this is likely to resound with Trump as he makes his way to Singapore?
Well, there's no question that Donald Trump, the man who wrote a book called The Art of the Deal, is looking for a deal at this summit. But precisely what kind of deal he is willing to settle for, that is the big unknown question. Just a few weeks ago, U.S. officials insisted President Trump would only sit down with Kim Jong-un if he could be guaranteed that there was a serious prospect of an agreement on denuclearization. The North Koreans have made it clear they're not ready for that kind of a detailed agreement on denuclearization. So now the American side is suggesting, well, if they could nudge things forward in terms of agreeing a formal end to the Korean War, if perhaps the United States could begin a conversation about establishing diplomatic relations with North Korea, maybe putting an embassy and an ambassador on the ground in Pyongyang, that would begin the process of dialogue. Now, that's clearly a long way away from where this conversation began not that many weeks ago, when the United States was saying it's denuclearization or nothing. President Trump's supporters say his ability to move with the tides of this relationship is very important. No other president before him, after all, has sat down with a North Korean leader. But President Trump's critics say that by agreeing to the meeting, he's conveying legitimacy on a government in North Korea that doesn't deserve it.
Now, just to recap, if you're just joining us on Channel News Asia, we have been watching live pictures of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in a meeting with the Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong at the Istana. You saw the historic handshake, as Simon was saying, unimaginable just a few weeks ago. And here now is this North Korean leader on an international diplomatic stage, meeting the leaders of Singapore. Now, we saw there in those live pictures that Singapore's Foreign Affairs Minister Vivian Balakrishnan also present. And we know that Dr. Balakrishnan was indeed the representative from Singapore who met the North Korean leader as he landed and arrived in Singapore. Now, let's cross back to Simon Marks, I believe we have. Simon, are you still there with us?
Still with you, Jill.
Okay, so Donald Trump has just flown in from Canada, the G7 meeting, where he threw the meeting into a bit of a disarray by agreeing and then disagreeing to the communique that was signed at the end of that gathering. I'm wondering, what kind of message does that send in the run-up to this summit?
Well, I mean, absolute disarray. There's no question about that, because when Donald Trump left the G7 summit and boarded Air Force One, the US was signed on to the final communique that had been tortuously agreed with all the other G7 leaders. But then on board Air Force One, he watched the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau give a press conference in which Justin Trudeau said Canada would not be pushed around by the United States. And Donald Trump got very angry about that press conference, took to Twitter and accused the Canadian Prime Minister of behaving unfairly towards the United States, accused him of being weak, and as a result, pulled American support out of that G7 communique. That in and of itself is unprecedented. It isolates the United States almost completely from the other six countries within the G7, principally on the issue of trade. Who would have imagined that we would ever witness an American president breaking with the other six leaders of the G7, and indeed arguing that Russia should be allowed back into the group, something that five of the other six leaders don't agree with. Now he's coming here to meet Kim Jong-un for this unprecedented summit meeting with the North Koreans, saying he wants a deal. But the North Koreans will have observed President Donald Trump pulling out of agreements, the Paris Climate Change Agreement, the Iran Nuclear Accord, even pulling out of his backing for a G7 final communique. And the North Koreans must at least be somewhat quizzical as to precisely how you get Donald Trump to sign a piece of paper here in Singapore and then not have buyer's remorse on Air Force One as he heads back to Washington, D.C.
Simon, thank you for bringing us up to date.